With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Steve Sipple. We're primarily a football-driven show, but I think we'll have to talk a lot more hoops today. Guys, we're 19 days away from Selection Sunday here as we tape on Tuesday. And I know some of our proud affiliates air our show later in the week, so we're taping on Tuesday here this week. But Nebraska, you know, Robin, they're squarely in the tournament. I mean, and we've been working together a long time. This has never happened this early where you feel that's good. I mean, because even like the no-sit Sunday year, that went all the way into the Big Ten tournament where you didn't know for sure. I mean, they got in as an 11 seed, almost had a play in Dayton. Like, right now, they feel, I mean, today, they're squarely in the tournament, it feels.
Yeah, that 13-14 season, after no-sit Sunday, you had a pretty good idea, but even then, there was still some doubt. I remember talking with some of the coaches on Tim Miles' staff, and like, so what are you hearing? What do you think? Like, even going into their Selection Sunday party that they did at PBA this year. So, yeah, I agree. Barring a epic collapse where they lose out and get blown out and completely stumble to the finish line, which I do not see happening whatsoever, they're in. And now it's a matter of seeding. And like you said, since our website has been in existence, this has never happened to where it's February and Nebraska is comfortably in the field. They are officially off the bubble in most of the projections. Now it's a matter of what type of seed they're going to get, not if they're going
to
get in or not.
Yeah, we've had to kind of come up with some new content. I mean, for bracket, we've never had to do this before. We're, I'm like, Robin, we got to like cover the bubble and the bracket stuff. And, you know, we've never had this where, where it was worthwhile doing.
It's a like, good problem to have.
Usually it's been like NIT bracket projections.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was all last year was doing
which NIT bracketology. How they didn't get in the NIT last year is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's yeah, a lot more fun to talk about NCAA tournament than
oh my God.
NIT. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so like I said, Thursday, that game against Ohio State, that's one that if they win that one, they're basically in no matter what. And then if they lose that one, then you got to take care of business at home against Rutgers. I think they'll be okay.
Now it's double bye, and we'll talk more hoops later on the show. Yeah. But, I mean, the story, and same for the women's team. I mean, they're both men's and women's could both have double bye, which is an incredible, incredible deal.
Yeah, the women are there now. The men still have some work to do and tiebreakers to work out. But
lots going on here as we break through opening headlines. I do want to talk about the new signing day rules for football that are being talked about. Nothing is official yet, but you know we're a site that makes our living on recruiting coverage over the years. And when I first started doing this job, February was the big signing day. You know, everything was built around February. It was kind of a national holiday. Then in Scott Frost's first year, that was the very first year of the December signing day in December of 2017.
So two signing days.
And they added two.
Right.
Well, right, yeah. Now there's discussion about possibly three.
Three signing days. Interesting.
And you would have a summer one. There's pushback, though, by some coaches about a summer signing day. And I can understand it to an extent.
What is it? What's the
pushback? I think you're just really – you're eliminating like a senior year.
Sure are.
Like, so what happens if a guy gets hurt? What happens if a guy gets better? What happens if a guy gets worse?
Yeah.
By waiting till December, you know, you can iron out some of those things and not rush it.
You know, Sean, when Texas went bad, when Texas was bad for a while, one of the popular theories was, remember Texas would always lock down their recruiting classes super early? Mm-hmm. And And a lot of people thought, yeah, they're locking them down early and those kids are tailing off. They're not having great senior years.
You get
years.
Fat and happy.
Yeah. And that can definitely happen. And it also, okay, so what we're talking about is a situation where there would be a June or August signing date, right?
And I don't...
June or August.
Yeah.
And like, then December and then February. Three of them.
I kind of think August makes more sense than June. I just think you're really rushing it in June at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people want to go and have the July month to kind of sort through things.
Right.
And figure it out.
Right.
You don't want to just have to, like, sign mm-hmm. with a gun to your head, essentially, in June. Because mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. I don't think people quite realize. If they put in a June signing day, 80%, if not more, of the signings are going to happen in June.
Yep. It really speeds up the process. It's amazing when you just pull back on this conversation and think about it wasn't that long ago when there was just one signing day in February, and it was like a national holiday.
Mm-hmm. Now everyone early enrolls, though.
Right.
So that changes the conversation because
– Yeah.
But the other one, Robin, is December. They want to adjust that, and this makes sense to me. The college football playoff is going to be 12 teams, maybe growing to 14. They're going to basically play over the entire month of December now with practices and bowl games, and that's already happening with bowl games and practices. But then you have the transfer portal element, and I don't think anyone really realized how big that was going to be in December. So if you're a coach, you're trying to sign all your guys, manage your own roster for the transfer portal, add new players to your roster from the transfer portal. So they want to kick that December signing day up to the first Wednesday in December.
Okay.
Instead of the third. And then they're going to eliminate road travel. The proposal is to eliminate coaches on the road in December.
Mm-hmm. In December.
I like it. I mean, just for all the reasons you listed above, December has become just chaos now, especially if your team's good.
Right.
I mean, imagine
you're almost penalized
yeah,
if you're good.
Yeah. If you have success during the season, it is at the consequence of preparing your future. And well, that is not a sustainable thing. And coaches have been outwardly against it. Mm-hmm. And so this is something I think that needs to happen. I mean, get that thing done with so you can actually focus on the most important part of your entire season, which is postseason play.
In-home visits, though, that's the one thing I don't understand when those will happen, if they'll happen anymore.
They might not. I think it becomes in-school visits become more important.
Right. In May, so May and April and January, you can do in-school visits. Parents can take part in these visits.
Okay.
And when we're talking with kids at the in-state tour, you know, I talk to each group of players and their coaches and their team, and I say, like, you guys need to understand the rules. I mean, these are the things that are happening now.
Do they understand?
I mean, probably not, because this is the very first year of these rules.
Right.
Like, a coach can come to your school and sit down with you and your family. It's like a job interview.
It's. I mean, Sean, if you back up, I mean, you're an older guy. You back up and look at how things have changed. It's amazing. We're talking about the elimination of in-home visits, which was just a thing for so long, big thing. Coaches going into a living room of a kid's home and trying to lure him to the school. That's going away.
It crunches the day, though, because I do think, well, I mean, you could still meet with a prospect later in the evening at school. I mean, there's no time that you have to meet with a guy. Right. I mean, if a coach is like, hey, I'll be at your school at 6 p.m., they'll go meet you back at school.
And Rule made a good point. I don't know if it was exactly about this, but ADs, whoever, asked the coaches, you got to know these kids when you recruit them. You know, you got to know what you're getting. But then you just cut down the timeline. How do you get to know them? You can't get to know them like you used to. So it's very interesting. And it is fascinating to me that they're going to have three signing dates is what we're looking at.
It's not for sure.
Right.
I think at worst, we're going to see December moved up and still have February. That's going to happen.
December 4th, December 3rd type thing?
The first Wednesday.
Okay.
The Wednesday before conference championship games.
Yeah, that'd be in that area, yeah.
And then there'll be no road travel.
Right. Interesting.
I you know what, though? I think what they should allow, and I don't know if they'll discuss this, is on your bye weeks, they should let you, like, maybe go to in-homes then if you wanted to. Like, I mean, you don't have that much time, though, on a bye week. Yeah. You don't have a ton of time.
You got the coaches. All this talk is what goes through my mind is how much they have to do, the coaches. There's so much on their plate. And I don't think the powers that be have done a good job to alleviate all the stress on these guys. Now, not that, and you don't hear complaints, but you're hearing guys get out. I mean, they're just getting out of the business or they're going into the NFL. because it's just, it's kind of a little ridiculous.
The breaks are so far and few between. I mean, right. February is a dead period, but now the coaches are out doing NIL fundraising.
Right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like a big break, does it?
The head coach gets a great break in May.
Okay.
You know, once the kids leave, because he can't go on the road in May.
Right.
But then usually they put him on like a speaking tour or
yeah.
more of that stuff.
And then June camp season starts up. Doing that every weekend.
Do you see why NFL would be alluring? Those guys, NFL coaches, get as much as 8 weeks off. I mean, and there are weeks where they don't have to do anything. Where one of the NFL assistants told me once, I could go to Mars and they wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. So they do get time off in the NFL. Now, if you're a coach, that might look pretty alluring. Well, it is. It is looking.
Now, I'll give Matt Rhule a lot of credit. In the dead period in July, he gives those guys like 3 full weeks.
His assistants?
Yeah, where they unplug. And you know, Matt Rhule goes off to his, you know, he's got a home on the Jersey Shore.
Do they unplug those, Sean? Or they have to make recruiting calls, right?
Yeah, you're still, just like when we go on vacation.
Right.
When I go on my vacation,
I don't really unplug. Who really unplugs anymore?
My idea of unplugging on vacation now is like, when everyone goes to bed, I go down to the lobby bar,
right?
And then you
with
work,
your laptop,
and you work with a whiskey. I mean, that's unplugging.
That's unplugging, yeah. Sean, and those coaches, they are making recruiting calls on their vacations. They have
sure.
to, yeah. They have to. You never really
checking your email.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, though. If you're a high major, power level coach, like, are you? How many of them are capable of completely just disconnecting?
I don't know.
I mean, you got to be wired a certain way to achieve that level of coaching. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if you can ever just be like, all right, phone on airplane mode for the week. I'm going to go sit on the beach. Like, they just can't do it. It's like Sean. It's like you.
Right. Well, not me. I mean, I went to the Caribbean once, and I left my phone back. I didn't even take my phone.
It was back when you had Cricket.
I was going to say, was this before Twitter?
No.
When I first met Sipple, his phone didn't work out of Lincoln.
Right. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. It was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And it was all, it was glorious. I didn't have a phone. I loved it. It was, you get used to it pretty quickly.
Can you imagine me unplugging, Robin?
No.
Not taking your phone? Boy, I don't want to think about it right now. It's a glorious thought.
Well, you guys can do all my work and I'll unplug.
That's true.
You guys want to do it all?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. Been there.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk more about halftime show of the basketball game. It was a dunk contest, and it was interesting because Jeremiah Charles stole the show. He had a big weekend. We're going to hit on that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. Taking you through here the month of February as we have our eyes set on basketball. But before we get into further discussion here on a great basketball halftime show, Steve Sipple, who is this segment brought to you by?
Larson Motors, of course. Larson Motors. If you're looking for a new vehicle, go for a new experience at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Larson Motors is one of the Midwest's only dealerships with all the major brands in one location. Think about that for a second. Finding your new Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram really has never been easier. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com. Or at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Larson Motors, you know what we always say, real people, real deals.
All right, let's get into the halftime show discussion at basketball. Because Robin, and God bless you, I've been to all the home games too, but we've seen some pretty odd halftime shows this year. And finally, I mean, I feel like the last 2 weeks they've hit home. The Babies Crawling was a hit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
was that a hit?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
I missed it.
It was adorable.
It was like a bunch of babies that were probably 8-9 months old.
Mm-hmm. And what'd they do with them?
And they had a crawling competition.
Yeah, so you had one parent with them on one end and then the other parent on the other end. And whoever could coerce their baby to crawl from one parent to the other won the race.
Oh.
And of course, it was full of hijinks and hilarity.
Okay.
What was the prize? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
And then this week...
Pride.
So this week was the dunk contest, and the football team was involved, and they had five players with customized jerseys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Emma Johnson.
Full uniforms.
Jeremiah Charles, Thomas Fedoni, Kai Whalen. As Sipple would say, Waleen.
Waleen. I think it's Waleen.
Sipple's default to every name is just throw a Dean on it, by the way.
Is that it?
No. True RSS fashion.
Oh, and Heinrich.
And Heinrich Harbour. Yeah. So you had five guys, Matt Rule present. But they just had a simple dunk contest, and it was great. I mean, it was like, I taped the whole thing. We have it on our YouTube channel. It was 7 minutes long, but it was probably the best halftime show, the most engaged one of the year, and Jeremiah Charles stole the show.
Freak.
Yeah, as expected.
Oh, freak.
No. And they've been talking about that. Like, the hype train for that kid is fully...
at St. Michael's.
Chugging along on the rails right now. Yeah, go back to Evan Cooper at St. Michael's, the event Sean put on there. Like, they said this is a kid that could push for a starting job.
What position?
This year, defensive back. Corner.
I know, but where?
Corner.
Corner.
Yeah, it seems like the opposite corner spot of Tommy Hill is more up for grabs than we realize.
Hartzog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hartzog can play safety too, though.
Right. Yeah,
and he can. This staff will, especially with DBs, even offensive linemen, I mean, they'll move guys around. They don't want to say you're set at this position, so mm-hmm. they'll move a guy.
Especially when you play five DBs. I mean, they had like three safety sets. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of mix and matching that can go back on.
Yeah, so Charles was, I mean, I was astounded by what he was able to do. I mean, how tall would you say he is? 6'1"?
If that, maybe 6 foot, 6'1".
Yeah, he's got serious athleticism. Serious. Also, Thomas Fedoni dunked, and people were like, ooh, knee problems.
I was nervous.
What's he doing out there? And he took off like a Jordan dunk.
From the Big Ten logo just in front of the free throw line.
Yeah. And it was impressive. Now, here's my theory on Fedoni. I think he's trying to show maybe NFL scouts, I'm fine. Look what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no braces, by the way.
See, mm-hmm. that's what I mean. No braces. And by the way, he does look fine. And I think maybe showing teammates, maybe showing fans. But I think he might have the NFL guys in mind.
That's a big jump for a big dude like that. I mean, like, that's just how impressive that was of a physical feat for him to do that. It caught my attention.
Oh, he's super. Yeah, his whole dunk repertoire was impressive.
Like, you know he's a good athlete, but when you see him do, like, at that size, when he goes in, he looks like a big-time football player, and he's taken off from just inside the free throw line. That's it's pretty incredible. Yeah, but Charles still wasn't enough to beat Charles.
No.
Between the legs, the behind 360s that he was doing for a guy that on the roster is officially listed at 6'160".
Six foot.
And I think he's more like 180, 190.
Yeah, I think he's
now
put on weight from then. But either way, 6 foot on a good day.
Hey, Emmett Johnson's only like 5'11".
Yeah, those guys are explosive.
He tried to dunk over Rule, which was a choice.
Suspect. But
God bless Rule for...
I know. He was probably like, you better make this. And of course he missed it.
God, I mean, these angles are incredible.
They are. They really are.
I mean, look at that. The reach for Fedoni there. Yeah. Freak. Poor Harburg. I mean, he had some decent dunks, but like...
He didn't have a lot of... choreography.
Yeah. Clearly the caboose on that one. Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of interesting. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. You've been around almost as long as I have. Never seen this at halftime. Nebraska football team dunking.
And it's because, I mean, there's risk involved there. Like, all you need is one freak thing to happen to spoil that entire event. And fortunately, Nebraska was able to get through it unscathed, and it ended up being this awesome publicity. Like, that went nationally viral. Like, every major news outlet was tweeting about how Nebraska had a football dunk contest. Yeah. So that's Rule, man. Yeah. The branding.
And Rule was down there.
Yeah.
Rule was there.
He was in it.
Yeah.
He was a prop.
Well, at first when he went out there, I'm like, is Rule going to, like, try to dunk? You're like, he went down by the rim, and I was like, God, I'm going to be pretty impressed if Coach Rule.
If Rule could dunk, that would freak everybody
Cox
out.
Back.
Yeah.
Tomahawk.
Well, like, he got under the hoop. I'm like, are they just going to give him a ball to dunk now? Like, then he was standing down there. But everybody was captivated by it. Like, it wasn't like anybody 100. Got up. Like, we've seen some real duds. I mean, the dancing.
Superstars.
Superstars? Was that a dud?
And then the painter from America's Got Talent.
See, I miss these. I miss these because I'm working.
Well, and they're like, they haven't done any of the usual ones, like the amazing Slatic or whatever, the guy with the chairs where he like balances okay. way up high. They haven't done Red Panda yet.
Oh, they did Red Panda.
When? What about
this year? Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, I swear Red Panda has done a game this year.
What about Quick Change?
For men?
Yeah.
Wasn't Quick Change really good?
Yeah, I think they're done. I don't know.
Retired?
Could be. They're getting up alive. There. That's the thing about all those acts is Father Time's probably taking its toll a little bit.
I mean, Red Panda.
I don't know about that. I'm a huge Red Panda fan, so I would have remembered
that. One.
I don't know.
God, maybe I'm wrong.
I can't break the tie here.
We'll have to fact check.
But her, I'm guessing her price is not cheap.
No, that's the thing. And honestly, like Nebraska has other things it needs to pay for right now. And so like when you get in-house talent like that, that's your best.
I don't think they're that expensive.
They are.
Are they? Superstars.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I think Superstars is $1,500.
Yeah, but what Red Panda is probably closer to $10.
That falls out of Sean's. That falls out of Sean's.
Hey, lost in the
couch every day.
Lost in the Shuffle at PBA. They started selling 24-ounce cans of beer on Sunday.
Yeah,
wow. I know you guys can't partake in that.
No.
I did. Finally, got to drink a beer at PBA during a game when I went to the women's. I went to the Iowa game.
You did.
I took
you
full
went?
Advantage of it. Yes.
Did you?
Yep. Made up for lost.
Was
time.
It like an 11 a.m.
Yeah. Game. Some people were giving me like I got a Voodoo Ranger IPA at 11 o'clock in the morning.
It was like an 11 a.m. game, and you're drinking a beer on a Sunday.
Look.
Don't judge me.
There was a time in this town that you couldn't get beer on a Sunday till noon.
I remember.
At restaurants and stores.
You had to get it, like if you wanted to like pregame for NFL Sunday, you had to go Saturday night.
I'll be darned.
Even like Old Chicago, these places, like you couldn't get a beer till noon.
Is that right?
On a Sunday.
I wonder when that ended.
Look how far we've come.
Probably 20 years ago.
Okay. I'm not babe in the woods here. I didn't know that.
I do want to go back to Charles, though, real quick here.
Jeremiah.
He had a heck of a weekend. I mean, he took part, and it was, is that Big Ten meet in Geneva, Ohio?
Yeah.
So the Big Ten indoor meet took place in Geneva, Ohio. Charles took 5th in the long jump, 6th in the triple jump. So he competed Friday and Saturday, got back, I'm assuming Saturday night or Sunday morning, and then went right over to PBA and did that. So you
won
talk,
the dunk contest.
I mean, you talk about a weekend for that kid. And
yeah, Jalen Lloyd, too, also had a good weekend in Geneva.
They both basically went 5th, 6th. Like, they kind of flip-flopped, if I'm not mistaken. But
no, it is. That's right.
They went 24 feet in change and about 50 feet in the triple.
Yeah.
Bryce Turner did not run. Malachi Coleman still not running yet. But those two jumpers really had good weekends.
There you go. So Jeremiah Charles, look for him maybe as a starting corner.
Oh, maybe to make some noise. I mean, remember, he only played football for like a year or two of high school.
So Cooper said he has a chance. So take it for what it is.
Okay. Bob Wager, that was his guy he brought to Nebraska.
Big-time athlete, that's all I know. I don't know. You never know how that's going to translate. A dunk contest doesn't mean he can cover a Big Ten receiver. You know, that's different deals. We'll see.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue the discussion. You're listening here to the Husker Line Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washed, as we're talking some in-state tour here, because we've held both events. We've had roughly 200-plus players and, I don't know, 28 programs come through. And, you know, people, how do you identify the programs we bring? You know, what I try to do is I make sure any program that we know that has a potential Division I or FCS guy that's on our radar, that's how we kind of invite who we come. You know, we can't invite every school. Like, it's really hard, and I know I get emails all the time from people at other schools, like, how come you're not doing this school or that school? And it's not like we can do every single team. So we try to generally pick around 25 to 30 programs to come, but it gives you a good taste of the talent coming in, and Omaha versus Lincoln or Omaha versus the state discussion. And, you know, we've seen it kind of play out on the field the last several years, but I mean, the gap between Omaha and the rest of the state, not just Lincoln, in the Class A type level, it continues to widen. I mean,
it's really interesting when you think about it. I mean, if you just look at Millard South versus Lincoln, I mean, Millard South's got how many guys right now with Power Five getting Power Four?
They have three with Power Five, but Jet Tamala is probably going to be four. So yeah, they're going to have four for sure.
Yeah, in the city of Lincoln, Rob has one. The city of Lincoln has one. Mm. Jackson Carpenter.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Millard South, four or five. City of Lincoln, one. Just, I mean, that's amazing if you think about it.
One, Westside's got two right now. Miller North has two. Platteview has one.
See, it's heavily tilted.
Wahoo has one. I mean, so yeah, and Bellevue West, I mean, the guy in the middle of that picture there, Keith, is going to be a guy. I mean, he's already got an Iowa State offer. So, yeah, it's interesting just to kind of look. And that's West Side. We didn't actually get Christian Jones, though. He didn't make the in-state tour this year. But here's Creighton Prep. They had a young team a year ago, so they don't have anybody yet at that level. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, because I don't really today see a Lincoln team in the top five of the state.
And we're not dogging on Lincoln.
No. It's just reality discussion.
Yeah, it's just we're talking about.
Look at Central, by the way. I mean, Central's Omaha got some leaves. Dudes. Central's got some dudes. I mean,
yeah, we didn't need to talk about Central. Yeah,
the guy in the middle there, Ike Ackerman, he's a guy. But yeah, Miller North has two guys with Husker offers, and then the third guy there, Henry Rayberg, has FCS offers. They have three guys.
Rob, you just think about Miller South, Sean. Think what they line up. I mean, they're going to line up with a quarterback, Jet Tamala, who's Lincoln Riley's coming to see in the spring. Nebraska, he's already thrown for Nebraska. He already threw for Glenn Thomas and Satterfield. Then they line up two Power Five level receiver or tight ends, both 6'6", and then Amarian Jackson, 6'1" receiver. Millard South's all-time leading receiver as a sophomore. With 2 years left, he's already the school's all-time.
He'll have a chance at C.J. Johnson's career record.
Career state record. Yeah,
I think he needs to average like about 900 a season, or a little over 900 and something a year, which if they play in 12 or 13 games, which pretty good chance they're going to play 12 or 13 games a year, he'll get that record.
Think about what they line up. I mean, that's amazing.
So, Sean, you've talked about this before, about the level of transfers in the high school ranks. Like, how much does that play into teams like Miller South stockpiling so much more talent than almost an entire city than what's in Lincoln right now.
Yeah, the dynamics of Lincoln versus Omaha for football are different. Omaha's got multiple school districts. You know, there's districts like Bennington, Gretna, and Elkhorn you can't go to. Like, you have to live there. You have to pay the property taxes because they're really expensive taxes. So you can't transfer in those districts. But Westside, which when we were growing up in the 80s and 90s, That was an exclusive district where you had to live there. Westside now allows transfer options in. Millard, if there's room, will take transfers in.
Okay.
You know, OPS, as long as the school's not full, will take transfers in. So it's just allowed kind of a Pandora's box where talent can move around. And, I mean, it's not out of the question for a kid that lives in Elkhorn to attend Bellevue West.
Right.
You know, and that's a 35-minute drive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not out of the question for guys to go all around the city to go to high school every day. Where in Lincoln, you see it to an extent. It's just a different framework. I mean, LPS has a different model of how they operate their athletics than what you see in the Omaha district. I mean, Westside's a great example. Like, they've just continued to build facilities and you know, Dr. Lucas there, their superintendent, and Tom Kirkman. I mean, they're building a sports juggernaut over there with all their athletics and resources, where LPS has a model where if one school doesn't get something, or if every school can't get it, no one can get it. So like Lincoln Southeast should have its own stadium, but they can't, because not every LPS school could have their own stadium.
Okay.
And that's the model of LPS.
There's some serious knowledge being disseminated right now by Sean. That was
like
amazing.
You can't fundraise.
Just throw the ball out there, let them get it.
If you were a booster and said, "Hey, I want to give Lincoln Southeast football $100,000," you couldn't just do that.
Couldn't do it. You got what?
It's got to go through the district and red taped and distributed. It's just a little bit trickier, I think, with the way Lincoln, and I feel like that's hurt the overall growth compared to what you see in Omaha, where it's allowed some programs in Omaha to really advance and move forward. I mean, they're going to Phoenix, Arizona.
Miller South.
Yeah. Creighton Prep's going to go to St. Louis. Miller North's going to go to Denver.
I'll be darned.
To play football games this year.
Yeah, that's a big deal for those kids, by the way.
And we had our surveys. That was a question in the anonymous surveys.
Okay.
If you could go out of state to play a game, where would you go? And a lot of the coaches were like, not even a thought, because it wouldn't be allowed in our school district.
Mm. Interesting.
So.
Yeah, the in-state tour is amazing. I mean, it's a great service for those kids. It gives them exposure. You hear that a lot from the coaches and just people who start to hear about it. It was really valuable for me, Sean, because I got to talk to the three Nebraska 2025 commits, Caden Vermaas, Tyson Terry, and Connor Booth. I really enjoyed it. It's interesting. Connor Booth's an interesting kid. Big running back, 6 foot two and a half, 6 foot one and a half, 215. Going to play baseball. Getting recruited by Oral Roberts for baseball. Getting recruited by Wichita State for baseball. And he's gonna do the baseball thing, which I'm always skeptical of, by the way. But he's going to try it. He's going to be a running back at Nebraska. And he's going to try to play baseball. I was talking to Amon Green, by the way. He wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. Remember Amon Green by chance? Amon Green.
Heard of him.
Wanted to play. He was a great baseball player at Central, center fielder, hit 400. Tom and Frank were like,
Damon Benning was a good baseball player,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was.
And that's why he went to Northwest.
Yes, he was a great
Bill baseball. Olson.
Yeah.
Eric Strickland played for the Marlins.
Yep, yep.
Eric Strickland could have played football, baseball, and basketball at Nebraska.
And he tried football. He did play football a little bit. Mm-hmm. He did it. Like,
and then he played for the Marlins minor league in one or two summers, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like their developmental.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was a minor league player for the Marlins.
Who was it? Kyrie Cooper?
Kyrie Cooper, yeah. Remember?
He that played.
He did. That was the first time where I heard a coach just publicly say,
this ain't working out.
No, remember? It was
Ted Gilmore.
Like during one of those group interviews we do, somebody asked him about Cooper. He said, I don't know. He's not over here. He's with baseball. I don't know how he's doing. Mm-hmm. It was clear he wasn't happy.
It's like he was okay at both, but not great at one. Like by doing two, it just didn't work very well.
No, it's hard. It's hard to do. Now, I'm not saying Connor Booth can't do it, but Connor Booth himself said, the only way the coaches are going to allow is if I'm playing baseball. Like if he's riding the pine for Will Bolt. Mm-hmm. Just be wasting your time. Yeah.
Ty Kildow was one that played both. Ended up switching to be a baseball player, but
Ty Kildow.
He was faster than fast. He ran 4.3, and he never got thrown out. Like
really,
on one of those early. It was an Erstad team, I think. But
it was.
I mean, if he got on first base, he was stealing second and third like every time.
And did he play? Did he end up playing football?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he tore his knees out. I mean, but he was as fast of a football players I've seen come through here. I mean,
anyway, the in-state tour worked out well. Jackson Carpenter was there on Sunday. We referenced him. He's the only player in Lincoln with Power 5 offers, Power 5 attention. It's really down to Nebraska and Kansas now.
Like K-State and Iowa and Northwestern have been involved, but
down to them. It's down to Kansas, Nebraska. It's interesting. It's really interesting to watch this. I don't know who will win out there. I think it's really close. His dad, of course, is Tim Carpenter, who has three national title rings at Nebraska. But he says he insists his dad's not just stays out of it.
And we know Tim. That's how Tim is.
Yeah.
He's not going to meddle.
Yeah. So he's a receiver. We'll see where this goes. What do you say, Sean? When's he going to make his decision, spring or early summer?
Yeah, spring. I mean, a lot of these guys, too, are going to graduate early. I mean, like, it had to be surreal this week for a guy like Jackson Carpenter. He just played his last basketball game of his life, probably. You know, they lost to Miller North in the district finals.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, and Brendan Frager was on that team, and he's a junior, played his last basketball game. Now, Frager's going to come in early, like in the summer.
Yeah, he'll be here in June.
Now, Carpenter would go through December, but just not do basketball. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Frager will be here in June. I assume the plan is to redshirt and give him a year in the program, work on his skills, get the strength and conditioning up. Be ready to go in 24.
Yeah, that was a disappointing end of their season to see him get blown out by him. I mean,
he was playing his best basketball of the season down the stretch, dropping like multiple 30-point games. He broke the school record with 39 points. So he got his groove towards the end. So unfortunately, he couldn't take it further in the postseason.
State his name one more time.
Braden Frager.
Yeah.
their team, though, had so many good athletes. It just didn't gel. It didn't click for whatever reason.
Happens. Never quite clicked.
With the number, I mean, you had Jackson on the bench. I mean, Jackson only played him like 8 minutes a game or something. He wasn't like, and you know, I think of the great like Lincoln Southeast teams, their football players, you just played them. You're like, hey, my coach is that way. He's like, I don't care if you don't play basketball all year. Like, I want these athletes on the court. You know,
Barrett Rood, go out there and play center.
I don't care if you can't do all the summer league stuff. You can play football. Yeah, you're an athlete. We're going to play you. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that as much because there's so much more specialization.
That's
in some of these guys.
You said the key word, Sean.
But if I'm a coach, I'm playing. Like, I don't know why a guy like Jackson Carpenter with a 37-inch vertical and he can play defense. I know the Nebraska coaches, when they watched him play, so the Nebraska coaches went to Jackson Carpenter's game, and Jackson goes through warm-ups pretty light usually. Mm. He knew the coach wasn't going to play him a ton, so he put on a dunk display in warm-ups.
Jackson did?
Yeah, just went off in warm-ups.
How about that?
Just to show the coaches what he could do, and the Carpenters were like, why is Jackson? They realized he was showing the Nebraska coaches what he could do.
Interesting. Yeah, Sean, you have kind of an old-school take there on playing guys, but I agree with you. But is this so... Sean, world changed.
Yeah, you reward specialization more than sometimes true, and especially in those big schools, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of kids. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to take questions in the mailbag. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good God.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washed. Time for the mailbag. Abby, before we get to the first question, it's beach volleyball season, and we actually got to see like a true beach volleyball game in Lincoln, Nebraska in February, meaning they played outdoor on the sand.
Yeah, it was beautiful yesterday, and they finally went outside. I don't even know like when the last time that they played a match outside has been. And actually this like season, before the season started, they like practiced outside a couple times because it was nice. So yeah, it's pretty wild. But Nebraska's 5-0 now.
Oh.
Working right now on Tuesday for their sixth win. And then they head off to LSU, where beach volleyball is a very big deal there. And then they go to Hawaii, California.
God.
So much nicer weather there.
Yeah, it's do people Maybe. Come? I mean, what's the crowd like? I mean, we know what Husker volleyball crowds are like normally. What's the beach crowd like?
So they're not actually open to the public because they play. So where the beach volleyball court is actually like connected to like the Olympic sports weight room. So there's like not even a curtain there. Like balls will like fly over and hit like track guys that are just pumping weights back there. So it's a very different vibe.
Yeah.
But they actually have like a really nice sand court. I think the sand's like a foot and a half, which is what the U.S. volleyball team practices on. And it's pretty much the hardest court that they'll play on all year. So that really helps set them up.
Is there a coach there? Like, is John there?
Cook. John is not normally there. No, he's not the coach. It's Jalen Reyes and Kelly Hunter that are the coaches for that. And beach volleyball is kind of different because the coaches can't say anything while they're playing. Like, they switch sides every 7 points. So then they will like say things then, but like they can't even yell that like a ball's out or anything.
Okay.
And
interesting.
The rules are very strict, and it's great for the girls to like develop all of their skills because you have to do everything, and it's really hard to move around in that sand.
Can you imagine if they would have been able to promote open to the public outdoor beach match? Like, they'd probably get a couple thousand people out there yesterday.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, and it was so nice out. People just want to go outside.
What time are these matches?
It depends. The one today started at 10.
10 a.m.
Yesterday, they were at 9 and 2.
This is a world I'm just not familiar with.
Like, Wayne State has a beach team.
Yeah, they played them yesterday, and I think their top team actually beat Nebraska.
Well, hello.
Was Ben Bramer's sister on their top team?
Yeah, I think it's Maggie, or
something
like that.
So the tight end Ben Bramer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wayne State upset Nebraska, and nobody knew it.
Whoa.
Stop the presses.
If a tree falls into woods and you... What's
Nebraska still won four of the sets, but...
All right, let's get to the mailbag. How about that?
That's what we're here for. Okay, we've actually talked about this a lot already, and I had this question, so you just set me up perfectly, but who is the best multi-sport athlete in Nebraska history or right now?
Tom Kropp, without a doubt, is the all-time best.
Just going old school on us.
Oh, it's not even a discussion, is it?
I don't think so.
I mean, Tom Kropp
played for the Washington Bullets.
And he could have played in the NFL. He was drafted by the Steelers, and I believe he could have been a pro baseball player.
Good God. Drafted by the Steelers and did play for the Bullets in the NBA.
A long career.
Yeah. He was an NBA player.
And he was a Larry Bird type story where he came to Nebraska and had a kind of a rough experience, and he transferred back to go to Kearney.
Okay. Tom Kropp.
Kind of like Larry Bird going to Indiana, going to Indiana State. Like, that was in that era. That was one of the early, a misfire just of that era that they weren't able to make that work. Tom Kropp would be regarded as one of the all-time greats here if he was here. Yeah.
There's a lot of
Strickland would be in that conversation.
Eric Strickland.
I mean, we kind of just reeled off all his accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no doubt he'd be. He and Kropp are the ones that come to mind for me. Strickland was, I mean, he's the best defender I've seen at Nebraska. He's an incredible defender, but he could have played
pro baseball.
Had some offensive game, could have played pro baseball. He practiced with the football team, never played in a game, but he was good enough that they were interested in him. So, yes, I'd say Strickland, Kropp. Those are the guys. Sean, Tom Kropp, there's a lot of 30-somethings that heard that name for the first time just now.
Yeah, Dirk Chatelain wrote a great article about him and his career. And Tom Kropp, like, even up at his older age, every day at lunch he would play full court one-on-one basketball with another like coach or teacher, and they would play each other one-on-one full court.
Cool.
And they were like physical matches.
I'll bet they were.
I mean, they weren't just like layup drills. I mean, he's old school.
There you go, Abby.
Okay, next one. How long before we see some kind of NIL setup for high school football, and what schools do you think will be able to have the best collectives or organizations?
Yeah, it's dicey because NIL, the rule in the NSAA is to maintain your eligibility. You cannot wear your school logos or promote your school. So you could theoretically have a collective and have athletes do promotional work, but they could not wear their logos or promote their school. And there have been... Maverick Noonan, Malachi Coleman, Daniel Kalen. I mean, these guys have received NIL and made NIL payments in high school. Like, it's not unknown, but I think you'd be really grasping at straws to think that we're going to see, like, a full-fledged, like, NIL system.
At the high school level.
Yeah, of the depths. I mean, I think going to Phoenix is an attractive sales pitch to a team. Like, if you're a kid, like, hey, come to Millard South. We're going to play a top-five team in Phoenix and fly out there. I mean... Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, to me, probably is, somebody's got to pay for that.
Yeah, I don't, Abby, that's a tough one.
I don't know, though, if we're just going to ever see it where you're going to see, like, a high school have a collective.
Well, there's a full-blown Matt Davison collective for Lincoln Southeast.
Now, some people would say, like, Westside is, like, I mean, because Westside has a lot of resources and backing, but they're not, no one's doing it to, like, that level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
We're not there yet.
We get ourselves in trouble here with us.
You know what my sense is that people don't even like that discussion.
It's private. You're talking about people's personal finances. Yeah, I mean, it's no one's business, really.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Will this Nebraska men's basketball team be considered one of the best in school history?
No doubt.
Well, if they win a tournament game, yes. I mean, inherently, yes.
Yeah. Very preliminarily, Rob, I'm thinking about a Sunday column. Nebraska beat Ohio State, I think you'd say this is the best Nebraska team in 30 years. 93-94.
Better than the Lou team, right?
Yes. Better than the Lou team because here's why. They had Lou and Vince, and their supporting cast wasn't great. If Lou would have had a bad game, they would have been in trouble. On this team... If Casey has a bad game, and you could have another guy have a bad game.
Yeah, they've got like six or seven guys that could all step up.
Right. Now, you would say, now, wait a second. They don't have a first-round pick on this team or a second-round pick. They don't. Mm-mm. But I just think as a unit, they're better. They're definitely better than the Lou Vincent teams.
Mm-hmm. They've got guys that are in conversations for potentially all Big Ten defensive team, for sixth man of the year, mm-hmm. for potential all conference honors. Mm-hmm. And so that in itself shows the depth, that you have multiple players in conference postseason accolade conversations. Mm-hmm. That shows the depth that they have. And then the fact that the teams that they're beating. So like 17-18 is like the most recent comparison just because of the number of wins they stockpiled. They didn't play anybody. They had one quad one win. They lost their other one.
Yeah.
That's a crazy deal.
Now, Rob, you're...
And so that starting five was really good.
It was.
Really. I would put so that you're starting talking about five who? Over this starting five.
Who are you talking about?
Copeland.
Glenn Watson, Isaac Copeland, James Palmer, Isaiah Roby.
Yeah. Now, some people are going to say, this team's not better than that one. Again, but the depth.
Hey, go six through nine.
Right. Depth.
Not even
and they defend. Close. They defend better, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the best defensive teams we've seen, certainly under Fred, and going back even past probably the Sadler eras. Mm-hmm.
So I think – I do think you – now, if I don't know. It shouldn't depend on whether they beat Ohio State or not. I thought about writing it yesterday. Then if they lose to Ohio State, you look like a moron. But if they beat Ohio State, I think that you start thinking about this team – Well, I already think of it that way. I just think it'd be more appropriate if
the Ohio State win changes the conversation from they're in a great spot to they're in, without any question, in my opinion. If they beat Ohio State, that's another quad one road victory. Check, check, you're in. Now you're playing for seeding.
It would be hard. Here's the thing about they would have to play themselves out right now, as you said the other day.
And losing to Ohio State doesn't change much.
No, and here's the thing about Nebraska. They're playing so well right now. They're not going to play their way out.
And they're a low maintenance team. Like, there's not a lot of, like.
It's a bunch of older guys.
There's not a lot of, like, guys that demand attention on this team.
Bunch of veterans.
No, that's a great way to put it. They don't. They're a team, and they're older guys, and they share the ball.
And they accept their roles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they thrive in those roles.
Yeah. Fred's got it. They're dangerous.
All right. Very dangerous. Final question, Abby Barmore.
So it's state basketball tournament time. What is your favorite state basketball memory?
Wow. Well, I've got a few because it's hard to
just have, do one.
Oh, just do one?
Sure.
We could come back around at least because you're going to steal my answer. I know you are.
I don't know about that unless you were.
Robin, you can go first.
What's your favorite? It's okay.
Well, just go ahead.
Well, the recent one, the Winnebago run.
Okay.
David Winget.
And just. How many people
that's a good one.
Were here? Like the Class C1 semifinals are on Friday morning at PBA. And PBA was full at like 9 in the morning mm-hmm. and 11:30 for two C1 semifinal games. And a lot of it was because of Winnebago. I mean, just to see like the draw that they had with the community.
They're fun to watch.
They were fun to watch. They played so well. They passed so well. Just the way it captivated that community and captivated the state tournament crowd. I mean, that was up there. That game against Grand Island Central Catholic, mm-hmm. where Johanna Gaifon was playing.
I was at that game.
What year?
2017, 18, something like
Johanna
that.
Johanna Gaifon was a Craig Bull. It was earlier than that. Was a Craig Bull football recruit. Big guy. NFL-level guy. Had some things go wrong. Never made the pros. But you know, he was squaring off against Winnebago. It went back and forth. And, I mean, it was packed. I mean, to get in the arena, a PBA for a high school game. I mean, that's up there definitely for me as a recent memory. I mean, growing up, my first state tournament I ever went to, I went to go watch Omaha Gross, my alma mater. I was in seventh grade, and that was my first time ever going. And for me, that's a memory because I got to see Wahoo play Gross in the semis. And that was the peak of that Wahoo era. And Gross was good. They were in the Metro Conference back then. They beat a lot of Metro teams. They beat a lot of Class A teams that year as a Class B school. They got smoked by Wahoo. I mean, Wahoo was at a different level of basketball in the 90s.
2015 was the Winnebago state title run, just for clarity's
sake. Did I steal yours?
You did not, thankfully. And I don't know if I would... It's favorite, but also just more unforgettable, was the 2020 state tournament. That was the last sporting event, live sporting event, before COVID shut down the sports world. Ooh. So it was right on the heels of the Fred Hoiberg episode at the Big Ten tournament.
Oh.
And like they were debating, are we going to let fans in? Oh. And it ended up just being this weird thing. And because I had press access, I was apparently cleared to go. So I went to that. And some of the best games, like buzzer beaters, that was the Bellevue West, Millard North game with Hunter Salas and Jason Green, Chucky Hepburn. Like those it was one of the best Class A state title games that I can remember.
Fiddler.
And there was like, nobody could come and see it. Mm-hmm. And they had garbage bags all over the seats. It was weird. It was just such a unforgettable experience just because of the dynamics of what was happening to the world, but then also the level of basketball that was happening in the gym.
I credit the NSAA for keeping
that. They let it happen. They were close.
And I mean, they had everybody on them to cancel that thing. And,
yes,
and
they did.
Dr. Beller was like, we're going to go through with this. They're just going to get through with it. I mean, in
what a time. Seriously.
All right, Sip, I want to hear you.
I don't have any great ones. Now, here's the thing. I started covering Nebraska football in 95. Okay. So I pretty much shut down. I didn't cover high schools, didn't go to the state tournament usually. 95 on. So mine all predate that. Now, I do remember pretty well like going to see Hoppin when he was an Omaha Benson Bunny at state. I was a kid.
Not Dan, Dave.
Dave Hoppin. He played at Omaha Benson, and he played in the state tournament. It was super cool, a seven-footer. Okay, remember Rich King at Burke. Going as a kid, I was a kid, probably not really a kid, but those are the things. And I also vaguely remember as a little kid, you guys won't know this, but it was like the Bob Devaney Center had just opened, and they had state basketball there. It was like the first time they had state basketball there, and I was just a little kid, so it was wild to me. It was amazing, this new arena. Paid for by cigarette tax largely, and being in there. And I remember sitting up in those plank seats. That's all I can really remember. I don't even remember who was playing, but yeah, I don't have
Did
any.
Columbus make state when you were there?
Yeah, I think I was there watching Columbus. No, not when I, no, when I played, we did not.
See, we played in the
Who's we? Omaha Gross?
Gross, yeah. We played in the Pershing Center
when I was a senior. And, you did?
And we were the evening session in the Pershing Center, so that.
You played in the Pershing Center at State?
We played Seward, and it was a tie game in the last minute. We ended up losing like by four or something. But
couldn't get it done.
Probably one of Seward's best teams they ever had. I mean, they had a really good team, and it was a tight-knit year. The best teams our senior year didn't win it. I mean, Beatrice was probably the most talented team. Pius was one of the better teams. They didn't win down there. It was, I think, Shattern beat Schuyler in the finals.
Okay.
My senior year.
You played Pershing. Interesting. Pershing. No longer there.
It's a library now, right?
I don't know that.
Not yet, but
I don't think so.
I don't rest think so. In peace, the real original Rib Fest, by the way.
Oh, yeah. They did have it there.
They kind of got rid of
that. That was real. That was the real Rib Fest. You're right. See, Sean.
Abby, do you have a state tournament memory?
I don't have like a specific one.
That's okay.
But my cousins and my family is from Wynot, and they play Class D2. Their girls' basketball team has won, I want to say, 8 state championships since 2011. And there was a time when they had won like 7 in 8 years, and I would always go as a kid. Even when it was in Pershing, we went several times. And then my cousins actually played a couple years ago. They won back-to-back, I'm pretty sure. So I always love going watching them, and it's kind of a family thing. Like, my grandparents will come this weekend, and my aunt and my cousin. So,
do you have Wynot gear?
I do.
Ooh. Hey, guys, you'd be interested in this. I did cover a state tournament game one time in the morning session at Lincoln East. I was working for the Lincoln Journal Star. The deadline was really tight because it was the Journal Star afternoon paper. I had the wrong team winning. And it was stripped. I had the wrong team winning. It was stripped across the top of the paper with the wrong team winning.
Hey, we're.
And the next day I had to go back, and the crowd was like chanting journals. It was like living in a nightmare. Yeah, I thought I was gonna get fired for sure. They didn't fire me.
That's a state tournament memory right there.
That's a memory. I had the wrong team winning, stripped across the top of.
You
the,
weren't even Babe in the Woods there.
No, I just messed it up on deadline. It was a real bad deadline because again, people don't understand.
What do you mean? Who won?
It was an afternoon paper.
I remember those days.
Yeah, it was an afternoon paper, so the deadline was like 11:30 or noon. I was firing it out, and I called them and said, I got the wrong team winning. They said, it's too late. It's too late. Oh, it was horrifying. It was horrifying.
Well, if I would have known that, I don't know if we would have hired you.
John, come on.
We're going to go watch Carter Nelson next week, I think.
We are.
Carter right next Nelson. Door at 10:45 on Thursday. We're going to go over there next week, so. All right, when you come back, we'll talk Husker basketball. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show, final segment of the program. And a reminder, if you're not a member, HuskerOnline.com. Check us out. Lots of great stuff going on with basketball coverage, in-state tour. We're on the cusp of spring football coverage as well. We got a great deal. 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1 to take advantage of a great special and a great deal we have at HuskerOnline.com. That's promo code NU1 to try us out here as we wrap through. But I want to close the show, Robin, with some basketball discussion. We've already kind of talked some hoops, but, man, we saw Pinnacle Bank Arena at its peak, a 70-some degree Sunday last week, Minnesota.
Ooh, it was good.
The rail yard is hopping. By the way, they've
Chamber
already...
Chamber of Commerce type day.
They took out the ice. I mean, I think they just saw what the forecast was going to be, and they removed the ice about a week ago. Mm-hmm. So
skating rink?
Yeah, it's gone. And they, I mean, it was peak like football season type crowd. Now, I was a little disappointed that there was only like one outdoor beer window open. Mm. They weren't prepared for.
It's very disappointing.
Well, imagine like 5,000 people in one window. That's what we had going. You could go in a venue and walk outside of it. But I would imagine, Robin, we're going to get another day like that Sunday.
Yeah. Early forecast suggests a very similar setup for that 5:30 senior day night tip against Rutgers.
It was intense against Minnesota. The crowd was intense.
Well, and even here, so for one, the students were lined up, and it was back past our office at the post office here, like 2 hours before tip off. So the students were geared up, and then like it was kind of slow trickling in, but then like once you got in like that 15-minute window of tip off, the bar crowd started rolling in, and just the energy, you could feel it. Like people were ready. They were tuned up, ready to go.
It wasn't as so intense for, like, the Penn State game wasn't as intense. Yeah. The Minnesota game was really, really intense.
Because people can taste it.
Right.
It's close.
So many people want tickets now, too. Like, you know, we've had our season tickets since PBA opened, and it's funny how many people come out of the woodworks. Hey, do you know anyone with tickets? Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone obviously wants lower bowl to get down by that. But it's hard. It's a hard ticket, and it's going to be probably over $100 get in price for lower bowl seats for this game.
Oh yeah. The KSA finale in PBA.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Think about that.
It will challenge. I mean, the arena record is still No Set Sunday, which is like 15,997 or something around that.
Yeah. They'll never list it above 16. So we'll never truly know, but it could be up there.
Rutgers is just going to get pounded.
Oh, I know. I mean, so that it was already like a heavy advantage for Nebraska. Yeah. Like
it's too much.
Early Ken Pom odds have it as an 80% chance Nebraska wins that game.
Listen, it's a lot. I said that kind of facetiously, but I watched some Minnesota possessions when the crowd was revved up, and I thought it did rattle them a little bit. They made some plays that you were like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And I think the crowd can get two teams. The Nebraska crowd is super loud. I mean, Nebraska, it's packed. It's jam-packed. Like, who's the former Michigan coach? I'm going to butcher his name.
John Beilein.
Yeah, he made reference to it. Beilein acted like it's a recent phenomenon and said the recruiting's going to change at Nebraska. Well, the place has been packed, and they've been good.
Pretty much been packed every year since PBA opened.
Yeah. Right. But it is, like, if you're just coming on to it, you guys got to think of the guy in Albuquerque, New Mexico, watching the game like, God, look at this. Look at Nebraska. Look at this place. It's
John Beilein's best Michigan team got blitzed in PBA, so he should know about that back at 17-18.
But if you're looking from the outside and you see a game in Lincoln, you'd be like, whoa, that is nuts. Mm-hmm. I turn on a lot of college basketball games, and it's not like it is in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the second year or third year of alcohol sales. Sure second. I think it's second.
Second, yeah.
So, I mean,
how much does that affect it?
Oh, it factors. Like, I mean,
it turns a sleepy, like, after, like, early afternoon tip into, like, a party.
Okay.
And I mean, people aren't like getting crazy with it, but it just gives you that extra
juice.
Oomph.
It's hilarious. Like a mixed drink there, though. Like a you can get a double.
Yeah.
Take a guess what a double mixed drink costs at PBA. I've never got one for the record.
$18.
It's $18.
Is it really? And oh man.
That's a lot. When I'm in line, I'll get one beer pregame, maybe one. I'll have two maybe.
20 spot.
And there'll be guys that order a mixed drink, and they'll say, "Do you want a single or double?" And I always hear the guys say, "Double, double." I mean,
cash cow.
Nice, nice
doubles.
Yeah. So yeah, Robin, they're rolling. They're rolling. I mean, they look really good right now. Just don't overthink it. That's what I tell people. Just watch them.
Yeah, and you see it just in the way that they're carrying themselves now. Even like, take that Minnesota game compared to where this team was in early January. I mean, just the level of confidence and swagger that they have. Like they
quiet,
go
though.
Into games, especially at home, expecting to win, like and win big. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it was like, all right, one game at a time. We got to get through this one. Like. You're starting to see this team kind of take on the belief that we're good, and we're good just beyond like contending in the Big Ten. We're a postseason team, and when you have that just between the years, all of a sudden your whole level of play across the board, and everyone is bought into what they're doing. The biggest thing that stood out to me as this team has evolved is the evolution of role acceptance and mm-hmm, how guys mm-hmm. are completely buying into their respective ways that they can impact games and help their team win. Like Josiah Alec is a perfect example. Oh, Sam Hoiberg, Jamarcus Lawrence, CJ Wilcher, all these guys that could have their own individual interests, but they've found ways that they can make Nebraska good, and they have excelled in those individual areas to where collectively this is as good as they've played in a long, long time.
Yeah, they fit well together. You got to give the coaching staff credit for finding guys that
they
fit.
Built it.
Yeah, it's not just so often at Nebraska, even before Fred, it looked to me like sometimes they just throw guys out there and hope that they would fit.
Yep.
It looks like they put this together with a plan. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Williams is gigantic. You bring in a guy like Bryce Williams who's so even keeled, but so reliable. I mean, you know he's going to be there every game.
And
he doesn't always play well. Nobody always plays well. Rink is huge. He's just gigantic.
Just his consistency.
Yeah.
Like,
and even he doesn't have always great games, but you know he's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And they got guys like him where even if they're not putting up numbers, they're still impacting the game.
That's what I mean.
Like
yeah.
his facilitating out of the high post, even if he's not scoring a bunch, mm-hmm. which he hasn't the last few games. I mean, he's creating opportunities for others. Same thing with Casey when he's having a bad game. He draws so much attention that everybody else benefits. And so this is what separates this team compared to previous years where you have – look how many guys we've already listed about, like, impact players for Nebraska. We're like seven
six,
or eight deep right
seven,
now.
Six,
and
seven.
That's not even counting Eli Rice, who's been hurt and mm-hmm. was one of the more promising young guys that we've seen come in as a true freshman. So
Boogie Coleman, did he just kind of get benched too? That was another guy that played early in the year.
Yeah.
Somebody in my seats asked me about that.
He's there. He's still practicing. And
the rotation got kind of squeezed to eight.
Yeah, Sam Hoiberg's evolution changed things. And then moving Bryce to the point changed things.
By the way, Sam Hoiberg, two more years left, right?
Yeah.
Good God.
I mean...
Good. Two more years left of Sam.
He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah,
he's fun.
Yeah, he's like, fun and he's valuable.
That's Kit's favorite player.
Culture guy.
Carly's a Tominaga fan and Kit's a Sam Hoiberg.
Sam's
fan.
Got serious defensive ability. I mean, I think some guys they see him and they think, okay, I'm going to take him. Mm-hmm. Nope.
He's explosive.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's explosive.
I mean, he looks like he could play football now. He's built.
Yeah. There. But Rob, you're right. It's a lot of the. Well, here's what I'd say. There's six, seven, eight guys reliable, deep. They're shooters is the key.
There's seven or eight.
They're shooters.
You're above six.
And Lawrence is really come on as an offensive player.
Him coming off the bench was the best thing that could have happened to him. Sometimes you just need to see the game from a different perspective. And to being able to come off the bench, watch how the other team is, what their game plan is, how the game's being officiated, and just kind of the flow and pace of the game. To be able to jump into that with that understanding as opposed to figuring it out on the fly, I think has done wonders for him. Mm. And credit him. He's, again, another one of those guys that says, you know what, I can help this team more coming off the bench. So a guy that started 23 straight games, elects to come off the bench. That is a culture.
Right? And Bryce Williams taking
That's
that
culture.
Bryce Williams taking that point guard role is a culture.
All right, well, three games left. Thursday night, Ohio State. Sunday night.
Rutgers and Lincoln, and they'll close at an 11 a.m. game on Sunday at Michigan. So just three games left in the regular season, double bye in sight, NCAA tournament in sight. Nobody's going to cover this team better than Robin Washett, so I urge you to follow his work, his coverage. He is the lead writer on Nebraska basketball, and he's got the years of experience. He's seen a lot of basketball.
Are you embarrassed right now?
I'm not going to say bad basketball. I'm going to say a lot of basketball to get to this point. So, Robin, I'm happy
quite
for you.
A bit of it has been bad.
You get to experience this run.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you. You know, I mean, Kent Pavelka, we've put in our dues. It's about time.
You have. All right. Well, once again, check us out, huskerline.com. Full coverage throughout the weekend of Husker basketball, baseball, softball, and much more.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.